Good evening. Welcome, children of the stars, to another night of Cosmic Radio here on the BBS. Hey, it's December 23rd, 2012, and guess what? We're all still here. How about that? Nothing's changed. I wonder how the people feel that we're the doomsdayers and we're all prepared to go somewhere and realize that they're still here. However, things may have not changed in the physical, but in the unseen phenomena of things happening, man's thought process is shifting and becoming more awake and aware. And welcome to the age of Aquarius. I do have a guest on, and I'm going to intro him in just a minute, but I want to say how glad I was not to be on air last Sunday. Nothing personal. It's just in lieu of what has taken place in Connecticut, I would have not been able to keep my composure and talk about it. I'm much better this week, and I will be talking about that situation a little later in the show. I'm going to explain to you about the Death Wish generation and explain to you why they kill. It makes sense to me. I just wish scientists and the talking heads in the education system could see this. And, of course, Sagittarius, I didn't forget about you. Happy birthday to all of our beautiful Sagittarians out there. I will be giving you your extended forecast as well towards the end of the show. But tonight, I am joined by one of my good, good friends. He's more like a brother. He does a show called The Conspiracy Files. His name is Art Culbertson. He is from the Monterey Peninsula area like myself. He does a show called Conspiracy Files, which you can see on www.ampmedia.org. That's ampmedia.org. And if you live in the Monterey area, you can just tune into Channel 24 every Wednesday night at 10, I believe. Art, good evening.
Good evening. How you doing?
I'm good. Did I do that right? Did I get that correct?
I think so, but it's MEDIA.org, media.
MEDIA. Maybe I read it wrong then.
It's just like media, just like amp like a guitar, and media like, you know, the media, like you, the media.
All right. And, you know, Art and I don't agree on every conspiracy theory, because I believe that some of them are pure imagination. And but there are times when they are very real and very true. And Art, you've kind of ruffled a few feathers in your neck of the woods with your conspiracy theories.
The latest one about the shooting. There's a lot of weird stuff you can find on the internet. There's a lot of Illuminati connections and symbols, like they leave messages in like movies, and there's actually in the Batman movie, there's also an online movie called The John Holmes Conspiracy, and I mentioned it on a liberal website and they got all bent out of shape. People get very touchy about that situation because obviously a lot of children and a lot of families are grieving about it, so it's kind of a conspiracy. The news that was coming out about it when I was watching it on TV was just it was always a different story. They could never get it right. I don't know how they can just come out with one story and then change it and then change it, and that's kind of what fuels the whole conspiracy thing.
I know, and the media has just, you know. What I find interesting is media, I think, is part of the problem, and I'd say that because. For the next killer that's out there, and I don't want to be negative, but there's going to be another one somewhere just waiting, and he's going to be a bigger, better monster. He's going to want to be bigger and better because the media exploits them, and they get plastered all over the media and the newspapers and the this and the that, and it's just a very sad event that's taken place. I did notice for my own self, being a parent, picking up my kids the day that happened at school. I actually had one kid already home on winter break, but the other kid, you could just tell parents picking up their kids, they hugged them a little tighter, kissed them a little longer. You know, you could just tell by observing the parents and their demeanor how in tune these parents were and how heartbroken. It's really shattered a nation. What are your takes on, well, you know, I talked to you a little bit last night about this, and I had debated whether I was going to bring this up, But I do feel that it's one of those things where I know, Art, you're not saying it's factual yet, and I'm not saying it's factual yet, but it's something that makes you go, hmm. And it's something to do with both Adam Lanz's father, Peter, and James Holmes's father. Do you want to go over this, Art, or do you
Well, I'm not really up to date on all that stuff, but it has something to do with LIBOR and
okay.
And there was they're due to testify and all that stuff. Like I said, I'm not really up on it. I cover a lot of subject matter on my show. Let me just explain what I do. I run a television program on local public access television. What I do basically is I'm just sort of an impartial. I kind of got my character, who's Dirk Dastardly, from like a Rod Serling. And I do what they do, what they call a wraparound, where I come in, introduce the movie, and now play documentary films. I play documentary films, you know, some of the more wild stuff on the internet, but I also do mainstream documentary films, like The Last Mountain about mountaintop removal. I've done Jesus Camp. I've done Bad Seed about genetically modified foods. I've done a whole range of things, of political issues like Tom DeLay stole in Congress about redistricting. So I cover the whole gamut of political things. And then I will throw, because I'm not a big UFO believer, but I do throw in things like that just to kind of keep it interesting for other people whose eyes glaze over on the real Washington politics kind of end of it.
So you bring it from a very different perspective. What I like about your show is you see all sides of it. You have to bring it in from all different sides, not a progressive perspective or a conservative one. It's just one perspective. You know?
Well, that's true. I've ran Alex Jones movies, and he's more of a conservative, and he's a real conspiracy guy, and he's been going into the subject quite a bit on his radio program. And in fact, the first film I ran was one of his, was Terror Storm. I ran back in 2007. That was my pilot episode. But the one thing I won't do is I won't run propaganda pieces. I just saw one today about the 99%, the Occupy movement. That was a total hit piece put out by Glenn Beck and a whole bunch of the conservatives, and it was just and like another one that I saw was this one about how Bush prays and he's a holy man. I won't put out propaganda pieces, but I will put out what I call investigative reporting. If somebody investigates, like in the movie Gasland, fractal gas drilling,
that's
and
a
it's
good
contaminating
movie.
The water. Yes, yeah, they go in there and they actually do what we no longer have. Like you were saying about the media, we no longer have journalists who go and do investigative reporting. We just have this one story that runs on the AP, and they all run with it. And then it doesn't matter what mainstream media, they seem to cover the same story. But, you know, they won't cover what Congress is passing, what kind of legislation they're passing. They just seem to cover these events that are, I guess, you know, sensational, basically. So I try to cover all the stuff that people don't cover, and mainly I cover documentary filmmakers, some of them independent, some of them well-known, and they put some of these guys mortgage their house and put their whole life into trying to expose something, and it's a real effort for them to make their film, so I do want to give them exposures. I try to get permission as best I can, but I'm kind of like what they call a horror host, where they're people that go on and play the horror movies, but instead I'm just kind of a conspiracy host, and I do documentary films and such, which anybody can do. All you have to do is go down to your local public access television station and produce a television show and show some of these movies, because really we don't get this information from the television set. We just get sports, entertainment, and mainstream media.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's good that you're doing what you do, because it gives the little guy out there the exposure, and it's like independent media. It gives those people the opportunity for their voice to be heard.
And you can play full-length movies with no commercials, and you can leave the swear words in, because it's protected.
Oh, goody. We like that. Now, if you do want to call in and get in on this conversation, the number to call is toll-free. 1-888 627-6008 or 1-530-327-7602. Give us a call if you want to chime in and give your thoughts on what had happened in, I almost said Colorado, because there's been so many of them, I can't keep track anymore, but Connecticut. What's your feedback on this? We'd love to hear from you this evening. Bart, I wanted to ask you a quick question because it seems like a big debate, and I don't want to put you on the spot. I didn't go over this with you, but what are your takes on, you know, the whole gun control thing? I'm very conflicted about this. I was just kind of curious, as one of my friends, what's your take on this?
Well, I'm basically a liberal, but I have a kind of some weird leanings as far as that goes. It makes me very nervous to try to disarm the population. And then I heard something about China made a statement that the Americans should disarm. That makes me nervous, too. I just don't know. I don't believe in banana clips holding like 50, 100 rounds. And maybe there could be some regulation, I think, is the key. But banning assault weapons isn't really going to do it. There should be definitely some strict guidelines. But when they ban assault weapons, the ones that are already on the street are grandfathered in, so all it really does is drive the price of the guns up on the street value. But they're still out there, and there's, you know, people can still get them. I mean, small arms smugglers are all over the world, and they get guns from Russia and weapons. You can go in the black market and in Pakistan and buy, you know, shoulder propelled grenades, all that stuff. So it's just kind of hard to kind of keep, you know, a foothold on that stuff. So I don't really know the answer to that, but when they start saying, you know, everybody's got to turn in their guns, and I get a little nervous.
I do, too. I've actually been looking at a lot of things on the Internet, too, about that very question. And, you know, it comes down to the government, the New World Order, a takeover where, the you know, we can't defend ourselves as people. Then I asked Nick, actually, this question the other day, and he said to me, well, whether they take your guns away or not, I mean, they're the military. They're strong. They have tanks. They'll just bulldoze over your house to get to you. Either way, they're coming for you if that's the case. So I am conflicted on this subject, too, because I have guns in my house. They're not loaded. They're rifles. They're registered. They're for hunting. And I had an experience happen just the other day. I had an intruder coming through my backyard, which I've never experienced before in my life. And I freaked out. And let me tell you, I wish I had a gun in my hand. I would have blown his rear end right off.
You might have gone to jail for that, too.
That's what you told me last night.
He's in your house.
Unless I'm in Texas. Unless I'm in Texas, I could get away with it in Texas, but you know, I just kind of freaked out. I'm going, what the hell? Who is that running through my backyard? Is he running from the cops? Is he just passing through? But yeah. It was kind of changed my thought process just a little bit on guns. I thought, my God, that's kind of scary. You know, but it is a very touchy subject with people from both conservatives and progressives alike.
Yes.
But I do believe in the right to bear arms. It's your Second Amendment right.
That's right.
I do think that there should be a little bit better mental health care in this country.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing is, too, is these shooters. I think that, see, this is the other thing. I don't want to mention too much about it because I haven't done all the research yet and all the stuff.
Sure, no, I understand.
Come in, but it appears that many of these guys are on psychotropic drugs. It's just a lot of these stuff that the pharmaceuticals are pumping out that, well, you know, like if you see the commercials for Zoloft, they'll be saying, like, may cause depression. If you feel like you want to commit suicide and all this, contact your doc. Well, you know, those things are depending on the person, can create havoc in their mind. And they, you know, that could be part of it, too. I think that, as a matter of fact, some of these shooters were on those medications, so that's. But they won't bring that up because the pharmaceuticals are a huge lobby, and they don't want their product to be, you know, marked by bad press.
No, that's it exactly. But yeah, I do agree. So a lot of these shooters are on prescription drugs or have been on heavy psychiatric drugs of some sort in the past that can create a shift in their mind, I guess. I just don't know. I feel this way. If you hate your life so much, then take your own life, but you don't have to take out, 26 plus innocent people to do it.
Yeah, that's unfortunately that the when your thought processes are not together, you may lash out at other people, and blame it on them. And, this has happened over and over again. I mean, there was the Marine that held up people in the tower there in Texas back in the 60s. It just goes back way back. But, it wasn't because of violent video games. There's something deeper there. And, the mental health is a big issue. And ever since Ronald Reagan came into office and just defunded mental health and kicked all those crazy people out in the street, that's why you see them all walking around talking to themselves. And,
right.
And because there's no help for them because we don't take care of those. We prefer to take care of multinational corporations and the military-industrial complex.
Well, corporations
are
people.
Most of our tax money is. Yeah, of course.
Don't you know that?
Yeah, Mitt Romney's an idiot, my friend. So, what can you say? They passed these bumper slogans off on us, and amazingly enough, 50% of this country's population buy into it. So now they're trying to pass it off on the video game. It's the video games that are causing it. So.
Well, you know what? My kids love that video game, Call of Duty. Okay, they love it. They get to pretend they're little Navy SEALs or little Marines, and they're going in there. But my kids are the most peaceful, gentle kids. I mean, playing that video game doesn't make my 12-year-old want to run into the streets with an AK-47 and start shooting people. It's once again the educators and the talking heads who think they know it all and are trying to give you a logical answer to things, but they really they don't know the answer. They're as educated as they are ignorant in a lot of ways,
I think it's deliberate. They don't want you to know the truth. They really don't. I don't know. Here I go being the conspiracy guy again. But I try to stay neutral and I just play these films and let people decide for themselves. But after you go through editing, because I have to edit them in an editor and then I have to process them. So I end up watching them sometimes twice through. And then I start to notice things that, so it kind of sticks with you a little more. It's just like with the 9/11 thing. I never believed in the 9/11. And then after I was editing, I've done a few of those. But it was the one about the New Jersey girls. I forget what it was called. It was not about the implosions of the building, but it was more of how the government... It's called Press for Truth, and it was more about how the government covered up everything and how the 9/11 Commission report was so fraudulent and Building 7 wasn't mentioned. And then I started thinking to myself, wow, this could be real. I mean, and it was a pretty scary thought. When I first started doing them, I was just doing them as a hoot. I figured, people will check this out and, have a big laugh or whatever, but it's really not. And it's really scary when you think about something of that magnitude being pulled off in broad daylight in our own country that led us into a war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're still there. And you go through the litany of, we got Bin Laden, but you can't see his body, and, we threw him in the ocean. And you start thinking, some of this stuff doesn't make sense, and there seems to be a lot of covering up, and that's what makes it look even more guilty. For them to not look into it, to spend more money on Monica Lewinsky than they did on uncovering what happened on the greatest terrorist attack on this country.
This is very true. I agree. And I remember in the beginning when this first took place, and there were already people out there saying, their conspiracy theories, and this country got very upset. I don't know. I'm sure you remember as soon as you brought up that subject, just like bringing up the subject of a conspiracy theory with the shooting, people got very upset with that. You know, the country was in tragedy. They were in mourning. And I strongly feel that our economy, part of the reason we faltered too, was because of 9/11. It crippled us as a nation for quite some time.
Financially, it did. And that was actually Bin Laden's plan, was to drag us into the war in the Middle East and break our economy.
That's very true. So, you know, a lot of these conspiracy theories, some of them I don't, you know, believe in, but there are some that are, you know, they're things that make you go, it's something to think about. Some of them are pure imagination, but there are times, you know, there are times when you have to kind of sit back and go, you know what? That doesn't add up in my eyes. And you just got to kind of put things in perspective. Now, I've been doing some research, Art, on the topic we were discussing yesterday, and I didn't do a whole lot. And what I find interesting is, and a little later in the show, I'm going to explain exactly why this guy did what he did. I'm going to compare a couple of other killers and show you how identical their UCI is, which, for those of you who don't know what that means, that's a unique celestial identity. But what I found very interesting, and I'm not saying there's proof of this yet, this is basically hearsay, but this is something that came across by me and I went, Adam Lanza's father is Peter Lanza. He's a vice president and tax director at General Electric, which is owned and controlled by the International Central Bank. I thought that was kind of interesting. Then I came across James Holmes's father. James Holmes was the Aurora shooter in the theater in Colorado. Robert Holmes, and prior to the shooting, was the lead fraud scientist for the credit score FICO. Now, FICO works with all the major banks and is directly connected to the function of the international bank, or LIBOR, as it's called. But both these fathers had detailed information on LIBOR scandal and were due to testify in court in the very, very near future. So when that came across my page, I thought, that's kind of interesting. You know, there's no proof of it, but maybe in time when you'll be doing a movie from somebody who's investigated this.
Yeah, like I said, there's that one. I'm going to have to pull that one down. I'm trying to work on that right now, the John Holmes conspiracy. And there's always the thing that's strange about that, too, is that there always seems to, and there's plenty, you can YouTube it and find out for yourself. There are all kinds of witnesses that say there was somebody else with them. And even the last shooting, they tackled somebody down by the trees and had one guy down in the front. So, and then later they said, oh, it was nothing. It was just always the one lone gunman. I mean, where have we heard that before? And it's the same MO, and it's really strange when you got all these eyewitnesses talking to the news cameras saying, yeah, there was two of them, and they was with another guy. And in the case of the movie theater, witnesses were saying that there was a guy sitting at the front of the theater who let the shooter in from the emergency exit door.
I heard that, too. That's the Aurora one, right?
Right. And and so he got in because someone let him in. And then even there's police radio conversation where they were hunting for a second shooter. But they never got him, and he never seems to appear. And that's what makes people, you know, go crazy into the conspiracy theories, because it's all connected with the whole MK Ultra and the mind control and the whole Manchurian Candidate, where they control people through, you know, a severe form of traumatic hypnosis, where they traumatize the victim and then they plant post-hypnotic suggestions in their head. I mean, I've looked into all this stuff, and I'm not just like saying that that's what it is, but I'm saying that there seems to be a thread that connects all this stuff together. And there's, you know, cases in like even political assassinations, or even in the case of John Lennon, the shooter acts very strange, not like a person who would shoot him and try to get away. They would just be kind of in a daze and then just sit down and wait for the police to come and pick him up. And
reading Catcher in the Rye, right?
Yeah, in a couple of incidents, there's like in Lennon's case, and I think the guy that shot Reagan, what was his name, Hinckley or whatever.
Yep, Hinckley.
He had a copy of that too, and that's where they say the post-hypnotic trigger is when they read a page or they get a phone call to tell them to read some chapter and they'll go into their state. Now, this is all speculation, so don't come after me about it. Like I said, I'm the host. All I do is I present the film and you can decide for yourself.
But he's the conduit, folks, okay? He's just the conduit.
Right, I'm like Rod Serling. I come out and jabber a little bit, and then the story plays itself out. But it is fascinating to look into. God knows I spent too much time on the computer looking at this stuff, so, you know.
No, it's very interesting and fascinating, and it's great that you do this. So could you throw a shout-out one more time and tell us where everyone here can see this again?
Oh, you can stream it live at ampmedia.org, A-M-P like a guitar amp, media, M-E-D-I-A, like the media. It's Monterey Local Public Access Television. It's channel 24, because there is about six different channels. You know, some of the channels cover local city council meetings and what have you, and then they have a military channel. But for the one for public, is channel 24. And everybody has a public access, or should have a public access if you live in a major city in your town. And the reason for this is because we are the people on the airwaves. It's a common, and it belongs to all of us. So in order for MSNBC and CBS and NBC and all the rest of them to promote their commercial broadcasting and cross the east ways and run wires over your private property and all that stuff, they have to offer up public access. So public access television is a media that anybody can use to go on and speak their mind and report on things that the media is not reporting on. And so I really encourage all of you out there to listen. And you don't necessarily have to do what I'm doing, but you can do any kind of activism or cover any kind of event, a protest, something that really is important to you, and have it aired on television. Television and NPR, National Public Radio, and National Public Broadcasting, which is very hard to get into, but your local public broadcasting are all guaranteed because we the people own the airwaves. And don't let them tell you we don't. When these Republicans start telling you that they want to defund public access, they want to defund NPR, what they're doing there is they're trying to stifle free speech, and they don't want the things that make them look bad coming out into the light. It's in the form of WikiLeaks, except for it's legal.
No, I saw a thing about WikiLeaks that the guy, Assange, is getting ready to like post another million copies. He's going to expose another million more. More
and
secrets.
That's so damaging. And you know, the way that, and you know, you got to remember, I like Obama, but his reaction really shocked me. Because it was just like the whole Obama administration is going after this guy like he's a criminal. And they want him tried. They want him shut up. And they're claiming that what they always claim, you know, national defense. We have to keep this secret for your own good. Well, I don't buy that, because every time we have a Freedom of Information Act and when we uncover the stuff, you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the road, we realize that it wasn't in our best interest. And they did lie to us about the Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam. And they did lie to us about weapons of mass destruction. And then all the other little covert torture bases we have around the world. People around the world are pissed at us. And we're letting our government do these things in our name. So whenever, I don't care if you are a Republican, if you hear anybody say we need to defund public television and public radio, they are the enemy. You need to put them back in their place and tell them, no, we don't. That's the price that you pay to have your corporate blackout media continue to tell us lies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because I'm really sick of it. And I can't hardly stand to watch any of the so-called cable news. It's just nothing but propaganda, fluff, and BS.
No, I don't. That's why I stick to stuff like RT and, you know, even Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera. Can you imagine that? We want to go to the Middle East for our news now.
To get real news, I know.
And BBC can be good at times, too.
Yes.
BBC's all right.
They're pretty good too, but no, you're absolutely right. And knowledge is power. If you keep somebody uninformed and uneducated, they're never going to know. And so they'll never be able to make those decisions for themselves.
That's right.
So, Art, you keep doing what you're doing. I have a lot of videos to watch, apparently. You've given me a big, long list. I've got a lot of homework to do.
And yeah, a little bit more esoteric stuff about planetary movements, constellations, and all that. So it's more up your alley, Chimatica and esoteric agenda and all that sort of stuff. It's way over my head, but I do enjoy listening too. So I'm ready for reading, I think.
I'll give you and Delana one real soon. I wanted to ask you one more question. Did you fiddle around more with that Illuminati site I sent you?
I haven't gone in there yet, but that's great that we cracked the code. We got in. That's amazing.
I know. I have to share that with our listening audience. Let me explain it real quick, and then I'll let you go. Several months ago, I got a website, and I actually got it from a radio show called Ground Zero Radio with Clyde Lewis. He's awesome, by the way. Great show. And he sent a link to this website, and before 12/21/12, there was a timer counting down, and there was this pyramid with an eye, and I hadn't gone on it since, you know, we changed dates, you know, since the 21st has come and gone, and we went in there, and we actually, Art and I were able to crack a code in there. They were asking a question. It was thanks to his wife.
Yeah.
We cracked this code, and it opened up another level. Of course, we got stuck on this whole number.
Well, Delana's very into like Egypt, and she knows she's a puzzle solver. So
she
was on the right track. She figured out the riddle of the Sphinx. But then you got the terminology, which opened the door, and you got us in. Like, holy cow, we're in.
I know. Well, hey, we both helped each other. I just had the metaphysical lingo down, you know?
Yeah, that's it. That's great.
But it was fun. We had a blast, and my kid played another round of Monopoly this morning, and I think she's my little junior capitalist. She had like $6,000 and all this property.
I know she was operating the bank too, so she's got the whole bank thing figured out.
She's got the Rothschild thing going on, I guess. She wants to be
right.
The bank.
Give a man a gun, he'll rob a bank, and give a man a bank and he'll rob the whole world.
I like that. Oh, that's good. Hey, Art, you're going to have to come back again real soon and be a guest.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. And thanks for giving us the plug here at the Conspiracy Files.
Anytime, my friend. And you guys check it out. Conspiracy Files every Wednesday night at 10, Channel 24.
Yep. And then it comes on again on Friday at midnight. So
Friday at midnight.
That's California time, so you'll have to check your time zone on that.
That's right. So if you're in another time zone, we're 3 hours behind usually from New York. So so anyway, you have a great evening, Art. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh,
and
thank you.
We'll talk soon.
You bet. Thanks. What's that?
At Conspiracy Files, Wednesday at 10, ampmedia.org.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Art. You have a good evening. Good night.
Good night.
All right. I'm going to take a one-minute break, and when I return, I am going to discuss things about the killers, and I say killers, plural, because I want to go over something with you that a lot of people, because of the education that I've received through Dr. Torrey, I'm able to decipher some things and perceive things a little bit differently than the media or the talking heads or even the educators out there. And no, my education goes no further than an associate's degree in medical science. So I don't have a bachelor's degree in psychology. However, I could easily run circles around a psychologist with the knowledge that I know. With that being said, I'm also going to talk a bit about Sagittarius and your forecast for the next 2 weeks, but I am going to take a one-minute break, and when we return, a little bit more on Cosmic Radio. We will be right back in 1 minute. And I believe we're back here on the BBS. Hope everyone's having a good evening. It's a little stormy and rainy here in my little neck of the woods in Central California. We're having flash flood advisories right now. So I hope everyone out there is safe and home and not driving around in this crummy weather, because it is ugly. The weather outside is frightful. So make a fire and you'll feel very delightful. Did you like that? I want to talk tonight about something that, you know, we're seeing this way too many times in the news with these shootings. It's getting out of hand. And Adam Lanza, date of birth 4/22/92. Okay, I'm going to talk about him for just a second. This young man, first of all, I know for some of you who follow me or Dr. Torrey, no, we always talk about Pluto and Scorpio. He did have that Pluto and Scorpio. He had a lot of Capricorn in his chart. I'm Capricorn, and it's a critical sign. It's a practical sign. Without the proper guidance, this is a sign that's either going to be extremely, extremely religious, or they're going to be extremely into science and strictly science. There is no room for a metaphysical terminology of any sort. Now, this young man happened to be born in the constellation of Aries, but he had a moon in Capricorn. He had a dragon's head in Capricorn, with the tail being in the fourth house right on Cancer. That's the polar opposite of Capricorn. Tail in Cancer right on his mother. So he had issues with his mother. I'm going to talk about her UCI too, because I just got some information about hers, and I really haven't looked into hers like I have the young man here. I've kind of studied his for several days and have been looking into things, and he was a very troubled young man, but I have to say this is partially his mother's fault. Okay, and I know there's people out there going, oh, how dare you say something like that? She was a wonderful, nice woman. That may be true, but there's certain factors that play into this. Before I talk about Mrs. Lanza, I think her name was Nancy, or my notes somewhere. Yeah, Nancy Lanza. I want to point out something to everybody listening to me tonight. James Holmes, date of birth, 12/10/88. Okay. James Holmes, have forgotten, he is the man who was the Aurora shooter in Colorado back in August. Okay, then we go to Jared Lautner. For those of you who don't remember who Jared Lautner was, he was the man who did the shootings in Arizona and Tucson and shot Congresswoman Giffords. Date of birth, 9/10/88. What do these three men have in common? Well, for starters, these three men have Pluto and Scorpio, okay? Pluto and Scorpio. They are Plutonic children, and they are part of the Death Wish generation. And they're victims to the education system. They were never taught about their spirit and how to control their deep, incredible destructive, passionate emotions that they were born with. Now, this does not mean that there are, you know, I have a lot of kids in my family that have this placement, Pluto and Scorpio. I'm going to read you something before I go on, just so you have some understanding and perspective. I want to read you about the Death Wish generation. And actually, this is coming from a book written by Dr. Torrey called Power of the Dragon. Those of you out there who know me well know that I'm very generous with lending out my books. I lend out all my books to my friends and my family, but I'm very selfish and greedy with this one book, and you're just going to have to go get your own damn Power of the Dragon, because I'm not loaning it out to you. I know that sounds mean, but this is my go-to book. I've learned so much knowledge from this book. It's incredible. Pluto and Scorpio, the Death Wish generation. This inhabited from 1983 to 1995. So if you have children or even someone, you know, a spouse or someone, you know, not 83. So yeah, that's a good, you could stay in their 30s almost to be married. From 83 to 95, this is the daredevil sign of Scorpio. These are very young and wild children and have already made dramatic news. You see it, obviously, with what's happening in the media, with what has taken place with all these shootings. Even in my neck of the woods, you know, it's gangster central here. I could bet you money 95% of these kids are from this death wish generation. There is no fear of death with these kids. They fear nothing. They don't fear death like someone who has a, you know, I'll use myself, a Pluto in Virgo or a Pluto in Libra. You know, we have a little more fear of death, you know. These kids do not have any fear. There is no fear of dying. This is a position that when I'm doing a reading on someone, especially it's a child, because it's 9 times out of 10, it is someone under the age of 25. I proceed with caution, and I really choose my words wisely, but I also am completely honest, too. I remember many months ago, I posted in the student site on the Cosmic Code, and I had asked Dr. Torrey, how do you explain to a child about their Scorpio and Pluto? And he responded to me and said something to along the lines of, you cannot damage their fragile psyche, first of all. You have to explain things to them in a way that they're going to understand, and also to give them a little hope. You know, now I'm not saying that just because a child has this placement, they're going to be killers. That's not what I'm saying. But with the right environment, you bet that this can happen. Without the parents not educating themselves on their own child's UCI, the parent has no clue what course of action to take. And I could tell you one thing, stockpiling guns, which is what Nancy Lanza did, was not the way to go. She did more harm than help her son by doing this. He was a ticking time bomb. And these kids are ticking time bombs waiting to explode. That's why I say, I hate to say this, but it's going to happen again and again and again. And I don't want to sound, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to sound like I'm being negative. But until people start to realize, you know, perhaps the way I've been taught in the education system and perhaps my psychology that I've studied isn't working, what can I do now to be better service to this world? What can I do as a doctor or a teacher or an administrator or even a law enforcement officer to see this, to help prevent this from happening again? Until we understand a person's UCI and really understand how a person ticks, this is going to continue to happen. One thing I will say about Pluto and the Death Wish generation is this. On the negative, there is a negative obsession centered with jealousy, resentment, revenge, death, legacy, and sex. Now, on a positive, regeneration is reached with research, psychic powers, corporate endeavors, and spiritual exploration. Now, unfortunately, this poor kid, and I say poor kid because even the shooter was the victim. You know, some of you out there, oh, damn you all, lady. How dare you say that? No, no. Adam Lanza was a victim too. Big time. He was a victim of his mother's religious beliefs. She was a very giving lady from what I heard, always was involved in, what does it say here? Let me get my notes so I can really bring it to you. She was very involved with AIDS benefits and stuff like that, and was always willing to give you money if you needed it. She was a very much a humanitarian. She did possess something of an interest that I found very interesting, and that was she possessed a Mars in Gemini. And anytime you have a Mars in Gemini, this is Mars's weapons, and Mars is the Lord of War. Gemini is the hands. You're always going to have someone with an attraction to guns. It's just the stars don't lie. She was also, you know, a Virgo, is my understanding. And one thing I've learned as a student of DTs is that Virgos, not all of them, so don't go freaking out on me, Virgos, because I tell me you're going to die tomorrow. But Virgos are very prone to leaving this world in a very violent way, and it's usually through head injury. It doesn't happen to all Virgos, and the ones out there who have raised cosmic consciousness, that won't happen to you because you're awake and aware. But she was a very hard worker, and she was very over-concerned with her children and loved and gifted with plants, gardening, and nature. She had a Mercury also in the sign of Virgo, which made her, she had a stellium. And if for those of you who don't know what a stellium is a cluster of planets going through one sign or going through one house, sorry, one house. Which makes the UCI even more intense. What's interesting is, and I'm going to read this to you, wherever Pluto is located in your UCI, death, trauma, and the police will enter your life. She had Pluto right on her first house of herself, and look what happened. Look at this horrific outcome that took place. She also had a moon. In Pisces, Moon in Pisces is one of the most difficult placements. It's a very delicate position, and the soul is endowed with an extreme dose of uncontrolled imagination, there's not much critical thinking, and they're very vulnerable to any and all forms of suggestion. And religion was one of them. And her son was jealous at the fact that this mother constantly gave others attention, but she never gave her little boy attention. Instead, she bought him all his guns. What he really probably needed was a great big hug and some mommy time. You know? Pay attention to me. I'm your son. You know, stop going to these charities and stop doing this. I need you. He was crying out for attention. Unfortunately, only the students who've studied astropsychology are going to get this. Hopefully, in time, more and more people will understand this. But with her born with the moon in Pisces, she's had a lot of emotional. She's very emotional, and this also makes people very devoted to their religious poisonings. And she was very, from my understanding, extremely religious. And if you want to know more about this story, you can learn about it in the Cosmic Code. There's a big article about this mother and her UCI and the kind of the relationship she had with her son. And also another thing that went into the factor here is she had a Jupiter in the sign of a Sagittarius. And I have to tell you, from doing readings myself, anytime I have this placement when I'm doing a reading, you people are very difficult. They are so obsessed with the codification of thought and what the good book says, and that's the word, and that's the only word, and there's no other word but that, and that's the word of God. Okay, well, if you want the word of God, then you're going to have to look up above your head, not in a book, because the truth is in the stars, not in a man-made book, not a book made by man, written by man to control man. The celestial messages are written in the sky, in the stars. So all I can say to this is there's a pattern happening here. We are dealing with a plutonic generation, and unfortunately it's going to keep happening if we don't become more awake and aware. These are children that are of a plutonic phase, and some of the kids in my own family, I really, you know, I have a cousin who has this placement, and I'm not going to say who she is. She is a spitfire. She reminds me of myself at 23. I think she's 23 now. She's born in 88. Very spiritual, though, very metaphysical. She shares some of the same interests as I do, with the whole Native American rights issues. And, you know, she's a humanitarian like myself. I see a lot of her in me. And she does have this one placement. And when she gets upset, there's a side to her that's very different. I have a way of calming her down. I know how to handle her because I know her stars, and I know how to talk to her in a manner that's going to help her spiritually, instead of sitting there and talking to her like a psychiatrist and saying, well, how does that make you feel? I talk to her like one soul to another. We are equal, and we are equal. And this is just one of many. She and I are lucky. We have a great family with a lot of support. There are other kids out there that don't have that and don't have that great family unit where they can talk. And there are actually a lot of people in my own family who are not very religious anymore and are actually moving on to spirituality more than being religious, and they see things in a very different way. And that's going to continue to happen because we are in the golden age now, the age of Aquarius, and man's thought process is going to change. I'm not going to talk too much more about this because I do want to get to Sagittarius, and I want to leave the show for this year on a happier note than what I'm discussing now. But I brought my guest on tonight, Art, because I wanted you guys to see how what he does, and I commend him so much for what he does. It's incredible. Say a little prayer for all the people out there suffering who have lost. Hug your loved ones a little more. Before I close tonight, and I might run over an extra minute or two, I do want to go over Sagittarius because you're Sagittarius. You're the happy-go-lucky sign. I just love Sagittarius. You guys, nothing brings you down really. And if you are down, you don't really show it. Sagittarius is the jokester. He's happy. He's go lucky. Life, everything's a joke. And which is interesting because he takes on his exact polar opposite, which is Gemini. Gemini is kind of like that too. Sagittarius, let me find out. I wrote all this interesting, good information here for you. Sagittarius, you govern the planet Jupiter. You're a philosophical and educated constellation of Sagittarius. You are the philosopher, the natural teacher, and classified in divine astrology as the truth seeker. You do well in the learning or teaching computers. You do well with aeronautics, the law, religion, communication, radio, and language. You are also attracted to holistic healing, animals. I have never met one Sagittarius that didn't like animals. I have yet to, I'm sure they're out there, but I have yet to meet one. You also rule the Indian world and sports. Your desire to travel to foreign lands is quite strong, and they will lead you to uncover many philosophies and different cultures. This will take you very far away, giving you the option to return with incredible knowledge and to teach the rest of us. You were born with the gift of teaching, and you will always promote a form of purity and organization. Sagittarius, now, the dragon's head and tail, and I always talk about this. As of August 30th, this moved, or I call it changing of the guards. You went from the axis of Sagittarius and Gemini into Scorpio and Taurus. And with this new dragon's head, this is stimulating your 12th house. This is your subconscious forces right now, where you will experience a rebirth of your own psyche, leading you to a better aptitude to survive this world. This dragon will induce a new intuitiveness into you. You will have incredible dreams, discerning intuition, and your inner healing power will be fantastic. Where is it? This impact will also force you to deal or upgrade your physical health and sense of security, working within the structure of powerful, well-established groups. This dragon's energy will affect your spiritual life, including a full and serious psychological changes, and demand you to constantly regenerate your creative and investigative material. Souls born in December, you're going to be tested to your limits in the affairs involving the subconscious, making you very vulnerable to depression, addiction, and even suicide. Now, that's on the negative. Sagittarius, just don't feed into fear and realize that your dreams have meaning and you will be fine. OK? Okay. Now, the tail is riding in your sixth house, and this is going to continue to February of 2014. This is going to affect your health and your service to the world, where many Sagittarians will be forced to reevaluate the way they handled their inner life and their health. So, Sagittarius, take good care of yourself. Stay healthy, because the stars, we want you around for a long, long time. Right now, for your next 2 weeks, Sagittarius, this lunation is going to be right on your eighth house for the next 2 weeks. This is the house of investments and contracts, and lots of work is needed to fix your finances. This is a story for a lot of us right now, too. But you were forced to spend against your will, and you may have to repay some of that. Some of it may be with karma. But the tail of this dragon is slowly moving itself away from the United States financial problems, and the better financial deals and great changes are going to be expected in the distant future. Please don't nurture any negative, fearful thoughts, regardless of what you are, where you are at in your life. And follow the fluctuation of the moon. The moon will help you. You know, I would pick up moon power if you can. That'll guide you every day and give you the red light and the green light. Be cautious after a full moon with your words, driving, and keeping an eye on your children. Now, some secrets will come your way, and they will upset you a little bit. So just be strong, Sagittarius. It is a good year ahead of you. You've got this great advantage to grow spiritually and mentally because of that dragon head riding in your 12th house. Use it to your advantage, like I did when it was riding in mine less than a year ago. It was riding in Capricorns, and a lot of Capricorns weren't dealing with this very well. Sagittarius, you can deal with this. Spiritually regenerate yourself, and all will be fine. I went over my time this evening. I'm very thankful for Dawn for letting me speak a little longer than usual. You folks have a wonderful holiday season. Be safe. Love each other. Take care of one another. Peace and will to good and to man, all that good stuff. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, well, then happy Festivus to you all. Have a happy holidays. And I guess it's appropriate for me to say to you now, I will see you all next year. Good night.